A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
This is Dumpty Dum, a podcast about the Archers and the goings-on of Ambridge. With our clashing auras, it's P&Q here, Philippa Hall.
And Quentin Rayner.
And piling in with some serious hostility issues, there's you lot, our preposterously hatted Dumpty Dummers. This week's Dumpty Dum tune is from Stephen, and we're lucky enough to hear thoughts from Megan Wendy, Glyn Witherspoon, Carol from the Highlands, Catherine, Brian, formerly cycling Christine, Charles, Chris from York, Rob and Anon of Ambridge. Plus we've got tweets of the week, the Facebook roundup and predictions for next week, along with another Dumpty Bookdom item. Marvellous. So, Quentin, what have you been up to since we last surrendered our Sunday to this nonsense?
I've been hanging out with the Beatles.
Oh, what?
I thought I'd get you interested. I am two-thirds of the way through this mega documentary made by Peter Jackson, who, of course, directed Lord of the Rings. Mm. And it's called Get Back. And he's put together 60 hours of hitherto unseen footage filmed in 1969 as the Beatles put together their Get Back album. And it's fascinating. I mean, it's 8 hours long. You have to watch it in sections, really. It's too much. And some of it's downright boring because really you're just hanging with the Beatles. I mean, but the access is phenomenal because you're in the room with the Beatles in the studio. And then there are some just electric moments when you see literally the gestation and creation of these, some of the most classic tracks, seminal, timeless songs ever written. And there's Paul McCartney tinkering away on the piano and you're realizing that he's playing the beginnings of Let It Be or The Long and Winding Road, and they're plucking away and you think, oh, that's going to become Get Back. And then you see John Lennon just jamming a bit and you think, that's Jealous Guy. You know, it's jaw-dropping because you just see the creative process. And also it was chaotic. You think, how the hell do you ever manage to write a song? But what comes across is this extraordinary symbiosis, a connection between Lennon and McCartney, because, of course, they're writing songs since they were teenagers. Mm. And just a look, expression, a raised eyebrow, and they just connect. It's just phenomenal. And then there are lots of shots of them smoking and plates of sandwiches and really mundane, boring stuff. But because the camera's rolling all the time, you genuinely feel like you're hanging out with the Beatles. And it is, I would recommend it. Honestly, you've got to set aside about a month to watch it, but it really is well worth it. It's phenomenal.
So have you just been sat in front of the TV all week?
No, obviously, like, here I am. I've spent more time on this, of course. but no, I've done it in bursts. I have had this sort of a binge burst, but you can't, you know, each episode is about 3 hours long. So wow. You do need a break from it, but I would recommend it. It's on Disney Plus. How about you?
Well, of course, it's Christmas week now. It's Advent. I've got my Christmas mug. I've got my Christmas socks. We've just put the Christmas tree up last night. I hope you're drinking your coffee from a Christmas mug, Quentin.
No. I've put a string of lights out on a tree, but my wife has insisted, no, they don't go on yet. She's quite brutal like that, quite firm. So I am,
but I've just decided this year the kids were all worried that someone's, you know, going to get COVID and have to isolate for Christmas Day. So I just said, right, every day of December we're celebrating Christmas. So yeah, I've got my Father Christmas mug. I did have a slight calamity though this week. So during lockdown, I invested in a treadmill. And I was on it this week because it was too icy to go outside. The doorbell rang, so I went to press stop to go and answer the door, and the treadmill would not stop. And I ended up screaming to my son for help, and he came to help, and his help was to answer the front door while I was still stuck on this treadmill, and it wouldn't slow down. So in the end, he came through and turned it off at the electric socket.
Missed opportunity there. Your son should have shot some video of that, and that could have been an extra video for our patrons. Could you ask him to do that next time, please?
Oh, thanks. It was bad enough that he didn't come to my help straight away, but never mind.
I've got a Christmas tree reserved, so there's progress.
Oh, yeah. That's something. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Good. So, well, I'm pleased to hear it.
But no mugs, no, and it's no socks on yet. No.
Dear, yeah, now I've got Christmas earrings, a Christmas watch strap on at the moment. It's, yeah.
What do you like actually on Christmas Day? You must be a sight to behold.
Well, I'm just a bit exhausted because I've been chopping and preparing the food all on Christmas Eve. And
sick it's
just
of Christmas by Christmas Day.
No. Never not sick, just, yes, ready for a sit down and a sherry.
Yes.
But there we go. So, Quentin, let's turn ourselves to Ambridge.
Do we have to?
We do. Come on. What was revealed on our road to Calvary via Felbersham?
Well, your imperial mightiness, we've had drugged cats, lame donkeys, and Lillian transformed into a wild zebra. But we need to start with the wicked witch of the southeast who swept in with her stiff joints. On Sunday, the phone rang.
Hello, Peggy, it's Hazel. Who? The matriarch barked back at her stepdaughter. Ambridge holds such happy golden memories that I want to visit. I'll be there Tuesday.
Hayes must be crazy because she declared Hilda to be friendly. Mind you, the monster Moggy was high on cannabis and that she had long COVID. The renowned money grabber nearly collapsed from a dizzy spell and accepted the offer to stay with Peggy instead of her lovely little room at Grey Gables, not her usual royal garden suite.
Talk about laying it on with a trowel, Kate carped and warned Woolly Senior not to have the wool pulled over her eyes by the manipulator. But she looks like she's aged by about 20 years, reflected the nonagenarian.
Eddie was speaking in tongues, or was it French, as we heard that he'd taken Clary up the Eiffel Tower.
Linda meddled on her way to picking up her medal, dropping in on the rehearsal Eddie was supposed to run. Why am I not hearing Jesus rebuking his disciples? She rebuked her cast, before insisting on the appropriate level of solemnity and awe from Benjamin the Donkey.
Outside, Lillian was having a bad hair day. Jealous of Lindy's Barnet bravery, she'd instructed Fabrice to go wild and was left livid. Robert wanted to tear his hair out when she threatened to flounce from the trip to the palace, so he read the riot act.
Darling, I never knew you had it in you, said a rather flushed Lillian.
Blake's new haircut, on the other hand, was getting attention from the ladies, and Will was also looking forward to picking up the birds by rejoining the shoot.
On Wednesday, Blake finally told his story. Convinced by Chelsea to go and talk to Harrison, he revealed that after the three of them had been sold by Moss, their wrists were tied while being taken to work in a meat factory. There, the grey man with a tattoo routinely punished and threatened them. It's over. You're safe, Harrison reassured him.
With arthritic Benjamin out on his ass, Linda got Eddie to do the donkey work to find another from a sanctuary.
It must be trusting yet long-suffering, she insisted. Tell us about it, Linda. And the week ended with Hazel sniffling around the rewilding plot as she gushed about her father's money paying for it all and how he deserved greater recognition.
But don't worry, folks. Toby was sure Witch Hazel isn't going to cause any trouble at all. So that's all good then.
Good what a week, tonight. Eh?
I think we're at like ironicaccents.com. I need to, yes. People need to pay money for me not to do them.
You know, you're creepily good as Hazel.
Oh, I didn't. I thought all of those were absolutely terrible. So,
oh, yeah, apologies. But I mean, you're pretty good Hazel.
Anyway, enough about our waffle. What did you, our fabulous Dumpty Dummers, make of it all?
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
And first of all, we have Meg and Wendy, new caller inners, and they have a plot prediction about the shoot.
Hello, Dumpty Dum team. This is Meg and Wendy calling from Cumbria today. We are first-time caller inners, but we've been listening a long time. My Archer's vintage. Wendy is my mum, so I kind of was forced to like the Archers, but now I am actually into it. So I think mine is, I remember Jack being born and the whole Helen and Rob thing, so I think that's when I first started listening. And what about you, mum?
I think staying on the Helen theme, I think it was round about the time Henry was born.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, a bit before me.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're ringing in with a plot prediction today. We think that something is going to go down with Mia and the whole, like, hunt situation or the shoot, sorry. She's going to kind of pull some sort of, like, saboteur stunt, we think, to add into her social justice identity because she was feeling kind of invalidated after she had that chat with Chelsea and, like, she hadn't done anything. So we think something is going to go down there. Maybe she'll get shot. Maybe someone else will get shot. Maybe Will get shot trying to save her. Might not be that dramatic, but we think something's going to happen, don't we?
We do. Or maybe Will will shoot Mia.
Oh, gosh. Well, hopefully not. Anything could happen. Anyway, we love the podcast. Thanks so much, guys.
Yes,
have a great week.
Thank you.
Bye.
We love you, Meg and Wendy. That's fantastic. Mother and daughter, they're like the Jack and Michael Whitehall combination, aren't they, for Dumpty Dum. Lovely to hear from you, Meg and Wendy. And do call in again. First-time callers. We love first-time callers, don't we, Philippa?
We do.
We do. Who got hooked by Helen's children seems to be the common theme there in terms of their fandom of the Archers. Those creepy kids, particularly Henry. Oh, God, we haven't heard from him for ages, thank goodness.
No, thank goodness, yeah.
He gives me the creeps, that one. he does. They think something's going to go down at the shoot.
Yeah, I love that.
Wow, that would be something, wouldn't it? I hadn't thought of that, because she really had a good old go at Will, didn't she? She said, well, what's the... Yeah, how can you justify breeding birds and blasting them out of the sky? And she was on him straight away, wasn't she? So there's potential there, isn't there? I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, I agree. And Will seems better. So that's usually a sign that things are about to go horribly wrong. So, yeah.
But he's not going to touch any guns, apparently. That's what he told me.
No. No.
But he will, won't he? He'll get the bug again. He said, I've always wanted to be a gamekeeper.
Well, I hope Will doesn't shoot Mia, I have to say.
Yeah, because we're just getting to know her, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, anyway, we'll come on to that one later.
Oh, right. One of
the
those
Maya
Philippa,
of Maya.
Philippa's cross moments, right? Okay.
Yes, I've got things to say about that. But yes, something could happen at the shoot. Hopefully it won't involve guns this time, but there could be something. You're right. Mia could stage a protest. I think this is great. And I agree with Quentin. Meg and Wendy, you have to call back. It's just brilliant.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's our first call from Cumbria as well, isn't it? Don't recall any calls from Cumbria.
Well, we'll get corrected because there's bound to have been calls from Cumbria, but a beautiful part of the world. So, yes, do call in with more of these brilliant plot predictions. There we go. And now we go to Glyn. And Glyn has got some questions and some applause.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Glyn here. And as we enter the last month of 2021, the Archers left me with some questions this week, such as, when is Bert Fry actually going to be buried? The family was arriving at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. Are they staying the weekend until the Monday? Or is Bert Fry going to be buried at a weekend, which I think is quite a rarity? And also, what is up with the Fairbrothers? That conversation between Rex and Toby seemed to suggest that maybe they're both going to be on the move. Rex has got to move out of the cottage after all. Well, that's probably going to not get resolved until 2022, so we'll have to wait. But this week, I think we do need to give credit to the whole Archers team, the scriptwriters and the actors, for two things. One is for the scenes involving Harrison and Blake and and his interview, which I thought were extremely well done and very sensitive. And let's hope in the drama it leads to the arrest of Victoria. By the way, I don't think the Gills are involved in this at all, despite speculation on social media. There'll either be something else with them or they'll just disappear from the village one day without trace. And the other thing, the congratulations is on Hazel, because it's highly implausible that Hazel could have changed her spots, so to speak, but it's not impossible, and the scriptwriters and the team are really keeping us guessing on that very, very well, and I don't know which way to call it at the moment. Anyway, have a good week, everybody. Stay safe, everybody, especially as we get this new variant, and speak to you all soon. Thanks for the podcast.
Oh, Glyn, the voice of reason. Yes, absolutely. Yes, when is Bert Fry being buried? Now, I did actually have a look at the cast list for next week because I was very hopeful that Trevor would be back, but he's not on there. Rex and Toby aren't on there. Is this going to be a funeral that we don't actually hear?
We were told they were on the Thursday, they were arriving tomorrow, so maybe it all happened on Friday, and of course we wouldn't have. We wouldn't hear that, would we?
Yeah, I think that's a shame. I think it would be nice to, as nice as funerals can be, I think it would be fitting to hear it. But we want to hear Trevor.
Well, exactly. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be reported, isn't it? Like Linda's MBE. I was rather hoping for a royal cameo, actually, royal cameo performance.
Get
in a minor royal, you know, but no.
Now, Glyn raises some very valid points here. What is up with the Fairbrothers? Absolutely, because Pip assured Rex that there would be no pressure to move, that no rush at all, stay there, you know, long time. And now David said the new year. So Rex has got just less than a month to be out. I mean, how is this suddenly happening? And he sounds so relaxed about it, as if that conversation never happened with Pip.
He'll just swap properties with Pip, won't he?
Well, no, I don't know, because Toby's saying no, he wants to move out as well. So they can't both move out. What's going to happen?
Does that mean Toby doesn't want to live with Pip, which would surprise us all, wouldn't it?
Well, what he hasn't said is that Pip is going to move
being
in.
Sarcastic. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
She's being earnest today, folks.
I am. I'm being very earnest today. No, what we haven't heard is Toby say, yes, Pip's moving into the bungalow. So we have to presume she's staying at Rickyard. I don't know, but it just made me feel it just felt out of joint having had Pip's assurances, but maybe that just should teach us that Pip's assurances are worth nothing. And this veg wreath for the funeral, I thought they were talking about a wreath, a Christmas wreath for the door to begin with in vegetables. And I was concerned whether that was something for like the reindeer. But no, I think it's a lovely idea for a funeral.
A vegetable wreath, yes.
Hmm.
And what, you then make it into a broth afterwards or something? Yeah.
Or not.
you've I think exhausted the whole Fairbrothers thing, so I won't add to that, because obviously that you have obsessed about this, Philippa.
Sorry.
The minutiae of who lives where, and completely avoided spotted the main theme of Glyn's call, which was of course about the credit he wanted to give to the scriptwriters and actors for the Harrison and Blake scene.
Yeah,
and also the reintroduction of Hazel. Obviously, Hazel was the big reveal this week, wasn't she? And there's a lot of people like myself were thinking, who the hell is Hazel? I've forgotten who she is, or her backstory. So look, indulge me. I think a lot of people would find this useful, but I'm going to read out three tweets from Brenda Selwyn, who is the font, as we all know, of everything to do with the Archers. And for those who are thinking, who the hell is Hazel? This will help. She says, Hazel was born in Ambridge, but her family moved to the Bahamas when she was six. She and her mother, Valerie, returned when her father died 2 years later, and she was sent to boarding school. Her mother married Jack when Hazel was 10. They divorced when she was 18. Having packed her daughter off to boarding school, Valerie had several affairs. She died of alcoholism when Hazel was 27. When Valerie walked out on the marriage, 17-year-old Hazel decided to stay with her adopted father, Jack. Hazel's biological parents were Jack's second wife, Valerie, née Grayson, and her first husband, Reggie Trenton, who died in 1964 when Hazel was 8. Valerie divorced Jack in 1974 and died in 1983. Now, you could have a more comprehensive explanation of her story than that, so thank you, Brenda, as ever. But what is interesting is that Hazel is neither Jack's nor Peggy's blood relative, is she? So it's her connection to them is even more tenuous than I thought.
But the crucial point about Hazel is she's a nasty lady, horrible, been so horrible to Peggy, been completely money focused, tried to rip the community up by getting the shop closed and sold on, fought Linda, just a nasty piece of work. Whatever her background, when she left Ambridge, she left in a cloud because she was nasty.
Because she tried to milk Jack's will from all she could get.
She was just completely money obsessed.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. So there we go.
And then, of course, you mentioned the important scene between Harrison and Blake, which was universally praised for the acting and the writing and the direction. And we all agree with that. And I think actually Harrison played a blinder in that, to be fair. He gets a lot of stick, Harrison, but actually I thought he was very good in that and coaxed a lot of information out of Blake, despite the infuriating Yvonne, who I understand as the appropriate adult was there to look after Blake's interests. She was from the charity that's helping Jordan, but she was overwritten in terms of the interruptions. We know that she's there to protect him and say, you can take a break, you can take a break.
I didn't think that at all.
Oh, she kept saying, do you want to take a break? And he was just getting into his flow. He wanted to talk. He needed to talk. And he kept saying to her, no, I want to talk. But if you notice, she was overwritten for that.
You're overanalyzing now.
Well,
not me.
That sort of overwriting annoys me because you want the narrative to be driven. We've waited ages to hear Blake's story. Yvonne, we know you're there to protect him. You've made that point. Now shut up. Was what I was shouting at the radio. So there you go. I feel better for having got that off my chest.
All right, yes. Calm down.
Walk now.
No, sorry, we've got lots more wonderful calls, and we must move on to Carol from the Highlands, who has issues with the donkey selection process.
Hello to everyone in Dumpty Dumland, Philippa and Quentin. Carol from the Highlands calling in after a 2-year gap. I've been listening though, and did the brilliant Zooms during lockdown, and even sang the Berry Fields of Blair one evening, which you may remember or may prefer not to remember. Anyway, I thought it was time I called in again, even if it was just to say hello, and what a great job you're both doing, and also what fab colourings you get. It's been great listening to everybody throughout lockdown. But while I'm here, I'd like to tackle the donkey issue. It's interesting, Borsetshire seems to be littered with donkey sanctuaries. And poor Benjamin the donkey. And is he Shula's donkey? I think she has lent a donkey in the past to these shenanigans. But Eddie talked about a Joanna saying Benjamin showed up lame. Is Joanna one of Shula's long-suffering staff? I need to call in about Shula sometime because she's doing my head in. But no time today. Back to the donkey debacle. It's just highly unlikely that the folk in charge of a donkey sanctuary would have let Eddie and Linda in a field. And if they were going to be allowed to borrow a donkey, the sanctuary would be the ones that would assign them the most suitable and safe one, one that's experienced in pageants and being around people. Anyway, that's all I really have to say about that. The whole thing was quite ridiculous. Anyway, I better go before I get cut off, and look after yourself, folks. And that's it. Bye.
Oh, bye, Carol. Lovely to hear from you again from the Highlands. It's been 2 years, I think she said, didn't she, Philip?
She did, yes.
And yes, we do remember you singing.
Yes, the talent show.
I've got a feeling I judged that. Did I judge that? I seem to remember you? I gave Carol a prize for it. But no, she sang beautifully, just unaccompanied. It was a classic traditional Scottish song. It was lovely. Really enjoyed it, actually. So good to hear from you again, Carol. And do call in again, especially if you want to get something off your chest about Shula.
Yes.
Who doesn't? The donkey debacle. Oh, God. Oh, that's just ridiculous. Sans donkey. I mean, what the I mean, I think they'd all taken that CBT, the cannabis. They're all on something. It was just some wag on Twitter. I can't find it at the moment. I'm looking. Some wag says, don't donkeys get put in sanctuaries to avoid the likes of Linda? Which I quite like. You can't judge by the hock, she was saying. The donkey needs to have dignity and grace to bear the Virgin Mary. It must be trusting and yet long-suffering. And I'd happily eat bread and water if it means finding the right donkey. What were the script writers on this week?
It's fabulous. It's Linda at her best at performance time. There's always some calamity. And if this is the calamity, bring it on. Just I can imagine the donkeys sort of shuffling away, trying not to be seen by them so they don't have to be included.
Well, I love the way animal expert Eddie didn't spot it was a male. That was funny.
What? Yeah. Why did she appoint Eddie as temporary director when she was off getting the MBE? I mean, of all the people to appoint to stand in, why not Kirsty? Is Kirsty still locked in the bathroom crying and won't come out?
Because she did come out, didn't she? She did, yeah.
I'm speaking figuratively.
Yes, I know.
You know?
I'm being literal now,
Yeah, she was the producer. So she be taking over? Has she totally left? I don't know. And what I liked is that I had this vision of Linda standing at the donkey selection process wearing her MBE. I thought, yes, yeah, she'll be there with it clipped on to her cagoule as she looks at all the donkeys.
Well, as she says, she now has to raise her standards now. She's Linda Snell, MBE. that comment about sanctuaries I just mentioned was posted by a chap called KJ at Eggstones on Twitter. I thought it was funny. Yep.
Yes, and as Carol says, you know, Borsetshire just littered with donkey sanctuaries. I mean, it does sound like there are thousands to choose from. And yes, normally Shula did have this donkey that would be bought out for the carol service, the nativity play in St Stephen's. So what's happened to that donkey?
Well, I'm sure that you will look into this, Philippa, in your
obsessive way. I will, don't worry.
Somebody will.
Yeah, I've got my map out. I'm ready. I'm going to go looking. I'll just call Shula up and just ask what's happened to the donkey. That's probably
yeah. She's in your contacts book. I know that.
Yes, absolutely. No, that was great, Carol. Look forward to hearing from you. Don't let it be another 2 years till you call in, please. And so now from that, we go to Witherspoon, who has interesting views on Linda, Mia and Chelsea.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Philippa, Quentin, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. Boy, a lot to talk about this week. I know there will be many caller-ins about Hazel, so I will let others do the heavy lifting on that topic. A few thoughts about Blake. As Dumpty Dummers expressed on Facebook, Wednesday's episode was harrowing as we learn more about his experiences as a slave worker. We know he's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, so Harrison's final words to him of reassurance and optimism, while what a friend would offer, felt a little light considering what we learned. I do hope that the charity arranges for some serious ongoing therapy for him with an experienced mental health professional. Now, on to Mia and Chelsea. On Facebook, Philippa suggested that we take sides, but I do hope we don't have to, and they come to some accord. I have seen each one in my office. Mia, the socially awkward, isolated, high-achieving, with specific passions teenage girl, and Chelsea, the oppositional, sometimes volatile, academically underachieving one, who says what is on her mind. Both can suffer from low self-esteem and depressed mood. I have empathy for both. Linda, who can be a B-I-T-C-H during panto season, but hey, don't you need a demanding manager to achieve the top results? And she always gets them, was wonderful in supporting Chelsea and reaching out to Mia. That's why we love her. I do see Linda as having been a Mia during her adolescence. What do you think? And give William a break. He's trying very hard to be a good single dad, and his attempts to reach out to Mia were no different than what most fathers would have said in the circumstance. I think he's growing as a person. Talk to you soon.
Witherspoon, yes, you're taking me to task, aren't you, on some of the things I've been saying this week. Oh, I hear what you're saying, and such wise words. I mean, your point about Linda, was she a Mia as well when she was growing up? I have this vague recollection, and I could be horribly wrong here, that didn't Linda meet Robert while they were collecting rubbish or something for the environment? I think that's how they... Can you remember, Quentin?
It's ringing a far distant bell.
Yeah, so Witherspoon could be right, but I've got to say, Mia just... I'm not liking Mia at the moment. Ooh. She's very earnest, and that's absolutely fine. But she's really nasty about Chelsea. And when Mia started crying, I just thought that's just attention seeking. I think Chelsea is just, yes, obviously she's in a different group to Mia. But we've seen with Blake as well that she's not got an agenda. Blake felt he could trust her. Just doing the haircut the week before, that's such a personal thing. And it was right that she was the one to show Blake the article, because he might not have believed anybody else if they'd shown it to him. But I did start thinking, and I may have had too many coffees when I did this, Quentin, so forgive me. You're going to worry about me after I've said this, but...
I'm worried already. But
I started thinking, if Mia launched her own makeup range, what would it be called? So I thought maybe it's Maybelline, instead of Maybelline, instead of Urban Decay, Rural Decay, or maybe a sort of a collab, the Grundy and Gucci rebrand Grunchy. That's my... was a bad idea.
I think you need to get onto decaf. Okay. I think you're being a bit mean on Mia. It's interesting what Witherspoon said, that maybe she was a Mia in her previous life, because she seemed to, when Linda was comforting her, which I thought she handled very well, and saying, after 60 years, I've learned that you've got to choose your battles and stick to your guns and all that, as long as they're not your father's. So I think...
sorry, I just got that.
That's just dropped, isn't it? Well done. Have another coffee. Just let you recover. She's gone. I'm trying to make a serious point here, folks.
You be serious and I'll stop laughing. Okay. All right.
What was I saying? Oh, Linda comforting Mia. That's right.
Yeah, sorry. Yes.
But that is an aspect of Linda, isn't it? She's very good, actually, in supporting young people. She's good with Chelsea, and she was thrilled with her haircut, and she was good with Freddie, wasn't she, as well? And she was good with Mia. I mean, Chelsea's been a bit mean to Mia. I mean, essentially, this boils down to what Jane Bramley on Twitter has been going on about. Lovely Jane Bramley. She says, look, all this bickering, we know where it's leading. They're going to end up as best buddies. I think she's right.
Yes, I hope so. But I don't know. I strongly feel that Chelsea was being nice. She was trying to try different makeups with her. She was trying to get it sorted before rehearsal time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Linda was good comforting Mia, but Mia started crying, so she got all the attention. Chelsea hadn't done anything wrong, and actually Mia had been quite rude to her. I didn't like the words Mia used when she was talking to Chelsea. It was quite vindictive.
And she dismissed her friends as being very shallow, didn't she, and all that.
Yeah, I'm not like you. I'm playing the Virgin Mary. Why would I wear my... I mean, Mia wanting to use her own makeup for the show, that has got disaster, you know, hemp foundation.
I would leave that to Chelsea. I'm trying to say, I wrote a... Oh, toasted beige, wasn't it? That's what she suggested.
Yeah.
For me.
When you're acting, you do need quite strong, you know, makeup to stand up in the spotlight. Yeah, so
it was beige. It's the fact it's beige.
Yes,
I mean, Mia is a bit beige. She does need a bit more colour in her cheeks.
Yes, that's true.
Anyway, have you recovered now?
I have. Sorry, but with a spoon.
Thank you.
That was a fabulous call. And we'll have more of your calls in a moment. But if you're listening to this thinking, I'd like to record a message and I wonder how to do it, here's how.
Yes, we call it the People's Podcast, don't we, Philippa? And guess what? We need people to populate it. So we need to hear from you, please. If you want to record a message or a plot prediction, one way is to visit the dumptydum.com website, where you can click the red tab on the left, which says send a voicemail, and submit your call that way. I say this every week. It really, really is easy. You could sit there all week and have as many goes as you like. Nobody's going to know, so don't worry. Another way to send a recorded message in is to send a WhatsApp voice note to this number, 07957 167 696. And do remember, if you're calling from outside the UK, to add a +44, and please keep it to a maximum of 2 minutes.
And we also need to thank our new patrons who have joined us. We've got Melanie McLaren and Penny Fletcher. Thank you both so much for your support. What is Patreon, you may ask? Well, just very briefly, it's a way of supporting the podcast financially. $2 a show. If you go to patreon.com and type in dumdydum, you'll see us there. And it's fair to say, I have acquired some jars of pickled eggs, one jar of which will be winging its way to Quentin. We'll be making a video next month about that, Quentin. I bet you cannot wait.
A video of me retching. And that's going to be gripping, isn't it?
My husband said to me this morning, why are there two jars of pickled eggs in the garage? I said, oh, don't worry, it's just dum-de-dum. And he just had this pained look on his face.
Yeah, and I've seen the same on my wife's face, don't worry. So, yeah.
But anyway, let's get back to our calls. And next we have Brian, who has concerns about Hazel.
Hello, it's Brian. Been quite a packed week this week, lots going on. I particularly liked Eddie becoming a walking tour guide to Paris after basis of one weekend. I thought Harrison's going to shout Badger for a second. I'm glad we finally got some back details about what happened to Blake. I do hope they keep him on as a character after they wrap the storyline up. Perhaps he could become Chelsea's love interest, possibly. And Hazel's back. Now, what's she up to? She's really a wonderful villain. When she starts talking about her dear daddy, who she never visited, she has the same chill to me as when, like, Cruella de Vil complimenting your dog on its glossy coat. I'm a little surprised by Peggy being taken in by her, though, as they've always loathed each other. I would have thought Peggy would be reaching into her handbag for a knuckle duster as soon as she rang the doorbell. But so she's obviously after something, perhaps a rewilding project. I can't quite see how she could get her hands on it. After all, Jack died in 2014. I looked it up. So it's surely too late to raise any issues about his will or anything. And she's not a relative, a direct relative of Peggy's, so I don't see how she can have any claim on her money. I'm sure we'll find out, though. So that should be worth looking forward to. Well, that's all for now. Nice to talk to you, and enjoy the week. Thanks, then. Bye for now.
Thanks, Brian. Always lovely to hear from you. I love this idea that Eddie is now a seasoned tour guide to Paris. I mean, he's spouting all that dreadful French, wasn't he, when he came back? Yes. As Milon Fred on Twitter said, please, can Eddie stop talking in French, please? So we shall see. He hopes Blake stays. I've got a feeling he is, but I think we're going to talk a bit more about Blake in a minute. So we'll say some more in a minute about Blake. But the interesting about you, you suggest that Chelsea could become his love interest. There's a definite spark there, isn't there, Philip? Yeah, there is.
But yes. She's very young, so I don't know if it would work out for the long term. I think it would just be nice for them to have a friend in each other, someone to, you know, to talk to and not feel judged. You know, again, the way Chelsea was reading with great hesitancy the article, she didn't have to apologise to Blake about that.
No, she was the perfect vehicle to get Blake to change his mind, wasn't she? So I thought she again showed her maturity and people skills. She's emotionally intuitive, that one. I mean, she can be downright rude, but, you know, she knows how to handle people. She's displayed that several times in the last few weeks. So I think there could be something between them because she was chuffed that his new haircut that she'd given him was catching the lady's attention. So, yeah, I think you're onto something there, Brian. And I agree with you. I'm, you know, Peggy, I'm surprised she was taken in as well, Brian, and good old Kate. I mean, I thought Kate had a great week. You know, she just completely saw through it instantly.
Yes.
And she was essentially saying, look, Grandma, don't have the wool pulled over your eyes. And she was all, oh, you know, she's changed and she's aged 20 years. That's because you haven't seen her for 20 years. And that's not my joke either, but I liked it. And yeah, quite right. Peggy's much wilier than that, and she didn't like Hazel. So, agree with you there, Brian. Very perceptive.
Yeah, so are we led to believe that Hazel is broke or broken? What is the issue there? Thank you. Is she here for the money or is she here because she has, she's been broken by all that she's experienced lately? I don't know. I just thought her tone soon changed from admiring longhorns to admiring the potential for money.
Absolutely.
And the questions. So I love that sort of thing. And you're absolutely right, Quentin. Kate was straight away, you know, what's she after? She was straight in asking that about Hazel. And as for this trip to Paris, I don't believe Eddie and Claire even went to Paris. It sounds too much like reciting a guidebook. I think Terry Twophone sorted them a weekend in Wolverhampton.
Which can't be beaten, really. Think about it. Yeah.
It cannot indeed, yes. But Brian, fabulous call. Love the analogy of, saying dear daddy like Cruella de Vil. Yes. Spot on.
Complimenting your dog's coat.
Yes. And now we go to Catherine, who has some specific thoughts on Blake.
Hi there, it's Catherine ringing in. I'm still reeling from the horror that was the pixie cut last week, and so had to go into a kind of temporary week-long retreat with the concept that anyone would let someone who's been training to cut hair for 3 months cut their hair into quite a complex cut. No. Right. Occurred to me as I was thinking about this that actually so many characters in The Archers are, for me, interchangeable. I'm not very good at detail. And so Toby and Rex, they for me are one character. I never can remember who's watched, but I'm going to call them Trex. So I think that's easier. The same, the old ladies of the Archers, just with the warbly voices Jill and Peggy, calling them Jeggy. And then it used to be Ben and Rory, Bory, but actually ever since Rory and the sobbing at the railway line and going to live with family in Ireland, loosely in Ireland, I actually do know the difference between the two of them. Right, my plot prediction is that Trex and Hazel go into business to annoy everybody because she seems quite interested in the tedium that is rewilding. I did laugh. I listened again to the business with Kate and whoever it was, Jeggy, one of those, and the cat and the CBD oil. Now, the cat's noises, are they done by a human? They sound very strange indeed. I couldn't decide if it was a human cat sound effects or what, but I did laugh at the macrame and the dream catcher. But the way that she talks to whoever the old lady is, Jeggy, is so rude. And I noticed this last week, the way that Kate talked to her, was it her mother-in-law? Not Kate, Tasha, Natasha. So rude. I just can't imagine talking to a member of my family, especially not an older member of my family like this. Maybe you all do, you ruffians. I don't know, but I wouldn't. So also then Hazel decides to stay and like they have two bedrooms. I think that's really strange, isn't it? And that also Kate's sheets must have still be warmed. Yeah. Fine. You can stay here. And there's a slight bit of organisation with tidying up a room. Could you imagine all Kate's bloody joss sticks and, I don't know, ley line maps or whatever in her bedroom. Horrendous. Blake, finally, I'm bored of him. He's got a terrible accent. He veers between vulnerable and simpleton, like, and you'd really worry about him being able to get a bus into Felpersham, to being this lad is at the pub and ordering pints and this, that and the other. I think his friendship with Tracy's daughter is quite cute, but really, is it over yet? Please, we get the gist. Human slavery, modern-day slavery, trafficking, it's bad. We get the idea. Would he really stay in a village where he'd been held up? And so he seems to veer between being really good friends with people and then whacking whatever he was whacking at the end of that episode. So hopefully Blake's gone. Another idea, Christmas plot prediction. Please, please, please let it be Rob or that awful mother of or the Brummy guy, him coming back. And they're sort of sowing some seeds that perhaps that family might not be as innocent as we think. What was his name? Oh, God, I can't remember. Him. Anyway, that's what I'm hoping. Also, Christmas stockings. What would I put in one? I don't know. Kate, a book on parenting. Just such the oddest character. She has a whole family that she seems to forget. Like a man, really, I suppose, in many ways. Thanks, then. Bye.
Catherine, that's a lot to pack in. And Catherine, I heard at one point the sound of water and it sounded quite echoey. Catherine, did you record that in the bath by any chance? I've heard of people listening to our podcast in the bath.
I checked.
Did she?
I sent her a message and said, was that in the bath? It was.
Brilliant.
You heard the splash.
Love it.
Well.
Yes, love
we,
it. Works.
Well, it raises, and we've got, you know, last week we had Jo Edwards reconfirming that she listens while slathering in a Radox bath. So, I mean, does anyone listen to this podcast clothed is the big question, isn't it?
Well, at least all our listeners are clean. That's all I clean. Can say on it.
Well, not with a clean mind, though.
I've got to say, I like Blake. I'm not bored of Blake. I like hearing him. And I think Hazel is our Christmas present. You know, this wolf in sheep's clothing. Is she bad? Is she good? It's going to keep us occupied until it all really kicks off. And I hope they do build up that is she, isn't she? Because it's fun. That's what I want to hear, something a bit different. So, yes, I'm all for that. But if Toby and Rex are Trex, Jill and Peggy are Peggy, what are we? Are we Filton?
God.
No, okay, we're not.
Quillipa? I don't know. I'm sure Catherine will come up with something for us.
That sounds like a medical condition.
It does. Is there a cream for it? Yeah, yeah. Look, we've got to give congratulations also to Catherine, haven't we? Because she posted on Twitter under her account at iCod, because every year, I'm not on Spotify, but apparently you get an annual collation, don't you, of your listening history?
Yes, you do.
And it produces this for you, whether you like it or not, by the looks of it. And so anyway, she tweeted this image. It says, there was one podcast that lived in your head rent-free all year long. Second image, was the our mugs, the Dumpty Dum podcast page. So
how wonderful.
This is her top podcast all year. It says, your top podcast was Dumpty Dum, a show about the BBC's Archimedes. You listened to 40 episodes for a total of 2,191 minutes. That's dedication.
Only 40? Oh, Catherine, come on. There's some missing there. That's, yes. No, that's brilliant.
Well, we were so impressed, Catherine, that as a recompense, I think we're sending her a Dumpty Dum mug, aren't we?
Are we? Luck getting that out of Roy Field.
Somebody tweeted her that she's going to get a mug.
I'm still waiting.
She better get a mug.
Still waiting for mine.
She said so much, and we can't go through every point because she's her calls are effectively like a mini podcast in 2 minutes. But so you just said just now, you're not bored of Blake. I'm getting bored of Blake because I think, like Catherine, I've got the point. And I have to say, when they said, and tonight Blake tells his story, and my heart sunk, I thought, oh my God, we've got 13 minutes of this, you know, single story. So I was glad it wasn't a single story episode. We got the gist, which we needed to hear. I'm glad we've heard it, and it was appalling, and it makes you sit up and realize what some people are suffering. She picked up on, she referred to his terrible accent. I'm irritated by that accent because I think the acting and the writing has been good. That accent is overused, I think, in dramas. It's that sort of affected, cliched street accent, which is too often prescribed to people in these situations. It's an easy go-to. And I would have preferred a more legit accent. Why not a Bristol accent or a London accent or one from Lancashire or something like that? So that's my one gripe. But he now needs to develop as a character, and perhaps his burgeoning love with Chelsea, as Brian was suggesting, might be the avenue. But he needs to settle down and now move on as a character in Ambridge. So great call, Catherine, as ever. Brilliant. Thank you.
Excellent. And now we go to formerly cycling Christine, who has thoughts on some of the new characters we've seen this year.
Hello, Quentin, Philippa and all fellow Dumpty Dummers. This is formerly cycling Christine here. I wanted to say how I've been somewhat annoyed by the number of peripheral characters that have been plucked out of nowhere and introduced during the past year. I'm thinking especially of people like Kyle, the odious neighbour who we had a little storyline about, and then Layla, the girlfriend from Roy who turned up, was introduced, thought this could be another new character, and then suddenly disappeared. However, in contrast, I have really enjoyed and looked forward to bringing back old characters or characters that actually are connected with the show. It was really nice to have Usha back ages ago, and I think she's coming back again. And it's good to have Amy reintroduced. And I think bringing back Hazel Woolley was a great idea because she's a character that's appeared occasionally. And however much we hate her, she's a fantastic character for a drama. And I'm really looking forward to Mike Tucker coming back again. So please, Archer's script writers, less of the characters who appear and disappear, never to be heard of again, and more of odd pop-ups of characters that we're familiar with. It's a bit like real life, where you don't see people for a while and then they pop up again and then you see them 2, 3, 4 years later again. So thank you very much, and best wishes to everyone. Bye.
Hi, Christine. Thanks. Nice to hear from you, because she emailed in last week, didn't she, Christine? And we'd like to hear from her, because her calls are always really good.
Exactly.
This idea of peripheral characters is a good one, actually. There was a glut of them, wasn't there? She's right. Mm. And annoyingly, some of them I was getting quite interested in. Vince's mother. You know, they're not there long enough for you to really get under your skin. I mean, Carl was a nasty piece of work. Gladly we saw the back of him. But, you know, Layla, you thought, all right, Roy's in here. And then she just disappears. We're all getting excited about the promised return of the Tuckers at New Year. So we'll wait to see her. Well, that'll be another silent party. But the one we would like to reappear, wouldn't it, is Trevor, as we've just mentioned. So let's fingers crossed that we get more of Trevor. Good point, Christine. I hadn't thought about that.
Yes, I can't wait to hear the Tuckers back, and we better hear them or else I'll be absolutely fuming. So, yes, I look forward to hearing
them. How many of them do you want to hear? All of them?
Yes, all of them. Why not? But I just had to stop when I was listening this week. Someone has actually had COVID. I mean, I know we heard actually, you know, we got to hear from someone who has COVID.
Do you believe Hazel?
COVID.
Do you believe her?
Well, I do believe she's been ill and she had COVID. I mean, to be on a ventilator for me, that's pretty serious. But I think she's a baddie. And yes, if I can't get my illicit love story, then a baddie will do for me. And the fact that they ended it on, you know, don't worry, I'm sure she's not going to cause any trouble at all. She's going to cause so much trouble. The thing with Hazel is, though, she always thinks she knows best. And it's not that she's sort of there scheming, thinking, counting the money. She just thinks that's her entitlement. And she doesn't see what other people... I mean, let's think about Peggy. When Peggy was looking after Hazel's father, when Jack had the dementia, Peggy had a stroke from the stress of looking after him. And yet Hazel has never considered the impact. So anyway, sorry, I'm waffling, but
I mean, the worst character of the week on Twitter is running a poll at the moment. It's still ongoing as we speak. Who is the worst character in The Archers this week? And... The runners and riders are Hazel, worse than COVID, Linda, massive bloody ego, Peggy prefers Hilda to Kate, Hilda, Blofeld's cat. And guess who's winning at the moment?
Hilda.
She, funnily enough, she's only got 4.2% of the vote. 70.8% of the votes are going Hazel's way at the moment.
But didn't you love it? Didn't you love it how Hilda took to Hazel and there was no scratching and no meowing? It just shows like knows like. And I thought that was great. But you are, Quentin, I need to get you some therapy for this, the amount of time you spend on Twitter. When people ask you your name, do you remember it's Quentin Rayner or do you just say 13 Minute Man?
I say 13 Minute Man, yeah. I've got to get my tentacles into our community. That's what we're all about. People's podcasts.
Yes, but there's a whole world out there. There's people.
Is there?
There is. Anyway,
that's why I don't read books. I just read Twitter.
Fair point. Now we need to go to Rob, who has a theory. He's calling with a theory about Hazel.
Looks like all the pieces are starting to fall into place now. Hazel is happily lying her way around Ambridge. Suggesting that Kate would have done something willingly for the benefit of another person. Mm. No, that's not a runner. I wonder, though, what her long-term goal really is. Is it just to get the rewilding renamed the Jack Woolley Wilderness, perhaps? Who knows? I worry, though, that she'll meet up with Trevor after the funeral and take control of his powers as a walking sensory deprivation unit. There'd be nobody in the village capable of stopping her. Maybe Linda Snell, actually. The way she treated Eddie Grundy, she'd just throw down his mutilated carcass and they'd face off against each other. It'd be like a live-action role-play version of Godzilla versus Kong. Don't get too close to those two. See you all.
Oh, thank you. Oh, please no. Please don't let this happen. Although Hazel versus Linda, you know, we've seen it before. It would be lovely to see it again. I'd bring that on.
Who do you put your money on?
Oh, Linda would win. Yeah. She's a well-intentioned bully. So I'm all for Linda winning that one, definitely. But let there be a battle.
Let battle commence. Commencing.
Yes, exactly. Rob, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant call. And those are the calls, but you can send us an email or a text if you prefer. And how can Dumpty Dummers do that, Quentin?
Yes, you're very welcome to send a text to this number, 07957 167 696. Remember, if you're texting from outside the UK, to add that plus 44. Or if you prefer to send an email, do visit the dumptydum.com website and click the Contact Us tab at the top of the page. Do get your calls, emails and texts in just before noon, please, on Sunday, as we record at midday UK time, just after the omnibus, about an hour after that finishes. And remember, you need to be 18 or over to submit any views or comments.
And so we go from our caller-inerers to our email and text-inerers.
Cool fact,
a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Our first email this week is from Charles.
Yeah, Charles Day has written in with this saying, the title is New Age Stoic. And he writes, perhaps because we haven't heard Ruth in many a crop rotation cycle, I was struck by how different she sounded in her scene with Josh and Linda. She was so mellow, so stoical, so wise. To grasp the magnitude of her transformation, considering swapping in Ruth 2.0 for her former self in this exchange with her husband from the before times. Here we go, Philippa. Route B will cut Brookfield in two.
Our lands are already divided by hedgerows with the new road. It's not even the accent.
Keep going.
The new road. We can drive to London fast. This is terrible.
Keep going.
No, it's your turn now.
Oh, but we never go to London.
Oh, we will, David. I see it in our destiny. What the wheel weaves, the wheel wills.
What's got into you?
Deepak Chopra and some mushrooms from Freddy. Sorry, that's so bad. It was good in my head and now it's terrible.
Sorry, Charles, we murdered that. Anyway, Charles continues. Until I heard the new Ruth, I hadn't noticed that a position in Ambridge had been vacant for some time. Female source of calm wisdom. Behold and welcome, Ruth 2.0.
I'm sorry, Charles. I just completely fluffed that. It was a great email and I ruined it.
Just witnessed a female source of nuts, really. Bananas. Craziness.
I think I included every region in the United Kingdom in there.
Well, I think most of the Northeast was covered there. Yeah, well done. but yeah, he's saying that we've got a new Ruth. A new Ruth who's calm and stoical and conciliatory. Do you think it will last? Do you think it will last?
Linda was there with her brand new hairstyle as she met Ruth and Josh in the fields to choose the right location. And they didn't say anything about the hairstyle. Then Harrison sees Linda and he's like, oh, nice hair, Linda. So Ruth clearly has the observation tendencies of a dead gnat.
Yeah, but she was trying to defend her cold cows, wasn't she? So. And that was bizarre, wasn't it? I mean, Linda's lived in the country for 30 plus years and she's worried about cold cows.
It sounded like there was so much mud. I thought the cows had sort of got swimming rings and lilos out and were swimming through the mud. There was so much of it, but never mind.
Well, maybe the harvest supper has, now she's over that, she's calmed down a bit. And Charles, she was conciliatory, to be fair. And she was a calming influence. She did calm Linda down, but she'll get irritated and on a all uppity again with David very soon. We'll see.
Maybe Charles is right. Maybe Ruth 2.0 is the real thing. But Charles, I just apologise. Don't stop emailing just because of
the guy's going to run a mile. We murdered his carefully crafted script.
I said it's ironic accents, and that just shows just how ironic it is. But never mind. It's all good. And now we've got a text from Chris, and this is Chris from York. Hello. I was about to throw Banjo's hat in the ring for the donkey roll when Linda went off on one. About the Holy Family's social economic status, what could be more working class than a humble little pony like Jem? They've served in pits and stockyards and all sorts of roles over the years. I reckon the stables should strike over this snub and Banjo and Jem put on a rival dance show at Christmas. Yes, Chris, I agree. Why not? I would like to see that rival dance show. And yes, why not use Jem? It seems fitting, but Linda's got... Obviously, something's going to happen because Linda's very determined.
Well, she wants a donkey, doesn't she? She's going to get a donkey. But she was a bit sniffy and snobby about having a pony, wasn't she? and he's right. You know, what could be more working class than a pit pony? But yeah. I suppose that a pit pony wasn't mentioned in the Bible, was it? So it's got to be accurate.
That's true. That's true. So we'll have to see. But yes, Chris, excellent. Do keep your text coming. And now, Quentin, have an email from your number one fan, from Anon of Ambridge, who has a hair-raising question.
Thankfully, it's short this week. Dear Uncle Quentin and Auntie Philippa, I ignored your advice and had a radical haircut, which I'm now regretting. What should I do? Thank you, Anon of Ambridge. Well, don't take our advice. Yeah, that's what you should do, you stupid person, whoever you are. Well, you've got to go and see Chelsea. She'll sort you out, won't she? That's all I can suggest.
Yes,
or have it all shaved off. If you've got any hair, whoever you are.
You can't call
a they need to send in a photograph.
Rude.
They need to send in a photo of this haircut, and that will blow their anonymity.
I was going to say, they won't be Anon of Ambridge.
I'm trying to trick them. I'm trying to trick them.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I just think you're lucky Anon, it's winter, so you can just wear an arrangement of hats until the hair has grown. But yes, I did laugh, actually, with the story with Lillian's haircut this week with Fabrice, because there's someone in our town who at one point, the hairdresser, did the same style for every person that went to see him. So you immediately knew which hairdressers they'd been to if they were rocking this particular style. It's the only one he could do.
So everybody in town looked the same.
Literally. And these women would turn up for like these dinner parties and they would all have the same style.
It's like wearing the same dress, isn't it?
Yeah. Slightly like that, yeah. So, Anon of Ambridge, thank you very much. And thank you all for your calls, emails and texts. We value them so much. Keep them coming, please. And now to our special bookish item. So, as most of you know, I host Quick Book Reviews podcast. And this week I was talking to Nikki May, who has written the amazing book called Wahala. Now, this doesn't come out till January, so it's a bit of a peek preview. But there are some Archer's references in this book. And this has been, there's been a nine-way auction. The BBC are making this into a series with the leading script writers, producers, everything. This is hot news. So I thought we've got to ask Nikki about the influence of the Archers. Nikki, welcome to Dumdy Book Dumb.
Thank you for having me, Philippa. I love your show. I love the irreverence of it. And so it's a must listen to after my Archers pick. So thank you for having me.
I had to, because, I mean, first of all, your book, subject to a nine-way auction, being made into a massive TV series with the BBC. It's hot stuff, this book. It really is. But there are some links to the Archers, I believe. Can you tell me more?
Yes, I think the links to the Archers are the thing that makes Wahala the hottest book. So yes, there's Scruff, the robo dog, who is named after the dearly beloved and departed Scruff, Linda Snell's lovely dog. And Scruff has been reinvented. He's a robo dog that belongs to my four-year-old character in the book. And there's also a mention of the Archers in the book on page 259, when Ronke is cooking Sunday lunch for her husband. And what do you do when you're prepping Sunday lunch? You listen to the Archers. Ovs. So the Archers has been such an important part of my life. I cannot imagine writing a book that doesn't somehow crowbar the Archers into it.
And if you had to summarise Wahala in a sentence, it's a bit tricky. What would you say?
Well, other people compare it to Sex and the City with a killer edge, and I'm quite happy with that. It's a friendship novel, so it's a subversive modern take on friendship, family and culture, but it's got this slightly bitter, evil twist at the end.
Wonderful. And just going back to the Archers, if you had to choose your favourite character, who would you pick?
My Brian. He's mine. Yeah. And I love him. I don't care what people say about Brian. I don't know if it's the wine cellar. Actually, now that he's in slightly reduced circumstances, I think I like him a little less. But it would probably still be my Brian.
That's fantastic. There's very mixed views on Brian. I like Brian. He's always causing trouble, saying things that he shouldn't do, really.
Yeah, but I think he's such a fully fledged three-dimensional character. Yeah. That I just have a real soft spot for Brian.
Well, it's just wonderful to talk books with you, but also, you know, you listen to The Archers, you listen to Dumpty Dum.
The Archers has informed my life. I moved to the country about 17 years ago, and luckily I was fully equipped to live here because I know everything about the country because I've listened to The Archers. And even worse, I live in a farming community, so my farmer friends are hysterically amused when I tell them what they should and shouldn't be doing based on what roof or dig. David just said that week. So no, The Archers is everything, and Dumpty Dum is the perfect way to celebrate it.
Nikki May, author of Wahala, thank you so much.
Thank you, Philippa.
I love it. I love the fact she says Dumpty Dum is a must listen after she's had the Archers fix. But the fact she loves Brian, I mean, she's there. she's in my team. She's in my gang.
Yeah. So so that's Wahala, and you can pre-order it now, out 6th of January, I think.
Everybody will be thumbing to page 259, yeah. Then, won't they?
And so we must go to Facebook and our lovely Dumpty Dum community there as we sit back for the roundup with our Sue.
Hello, my lovelies. It's Siri, Green or Tart on the Twitters, and our first December social media roundup. You can tell that Christmas is coming to Ambridge when the pantomime villain turns up. And this week we were treated to Hazel Woolley. Did anybody else boo at the radio? I don't think it was probably just me. Carolyn Wright gave us a summary for all our newer listeners. She was a nightmare over her dad's will in Headston. She's money mad. She barely came to visit her dad, especially when he had dementia. She was very indulged as a child. She did very well out of her dad's will, but expects she wants more now. I'm sure about that. Helen Winter said, goodness, she really is awful, isn't she? Sounds like she needs a dose of syrup of figs and a horse throat sweet. And Raffy J says that getting Jack's name added to the Rewilding website was the thin end of the wedge. Hazel, according to Richard Woodfield, is about as obnoxious as Martin Gibson. I can agree with that. Certainly the most unpleasant character, a female character, who's played a significant role in The Archers in the last 50 years. And Sean Martin said, and that was in a scene with Peggy and Kate. Oh, that made me laugh. It's been a very long time since I was ever rooting for Kate. Hazel is, as Stephen Thomas put it, Beelzebub in a tweed two-piece. Also this week, it was time to find a new pantomime horse. Well, a donkey. With Lindy Bottom, and really, the less said about that whole thing, the better. But as Jean Bell said, Linda was showing once again sensitive and caring help for a young person in Ambridge in her conversation with Mia. Linda McCartney, Kay Goff and Emma Pettigill agree. I don't mind saying I had a tear in my eye. And that wasn't the only time this week I had a bit of a cry, during the episode with Harrison, Blake and the woman from the anti-slavery charity. Sandra Jenkinson said what I was thinking. I'm so glad the whole episode wasn't dedicated to Blake's interview. What we heard was harrowing enough. Much speculation on whether we might get a single subject episode later on from Sandra Witherspoon and Raffy. We were all touched by the revelations. Phil Parks said, very good episode. That's what modern slavery is like, and worse. Harrison was so gentle and kind with Blake. Gold star. I want to give a shout out to Carolyn Wright for her Alternative Saturday episode, which if you haven't read it yet, go and have a look on the website. It's just so funny. It made me laugh. She was very rude about Hazel, completely justified. And I think we all needed a laugh this week. I'm hoping that next week the Archers is going to explore who the pantomime dame's going to be. And do we need to call in the Ambridge fairy godmother to bring us a little light in the darkness? We will see. I'll talk to you all in a month or so. Cheery bye.
Thanks, Sue, for that wonderful roundup. That's amazing, isn't it? That Hazel is regarded as the worst female character in 50 years. That's quite something. So happy Christmas to us all. Talking of Facebook, we started this last week going through some of your answers to that post I put out, just asking where and when you listen to this podcast, because it's always interesting. So I promised that we would read some more out this week. So here we go. Sally Princess Park says, I like to listen to it on my work commute. It brightens my morning. That's nice to hear.
And Michael Wylock says, usually in my allotment, this is what I harvested on Sunday. And they've included a photo. We've got lots of different leaves and broccoli, purple sprouting, Brussels sprouts. Fabulous. And Jean Harding listens on her lockdown walks in Auckland, New Zealand. Paul Norris listens usually at home, occasionally on my now rare drives to be on site for work.
We heard from Alison McNabb. And she's one of these who just, we send her to sleep, I'm afraid, Philippa. She says, sometimes I doze off when I'm catching up. She says, I need the soothing effect due to lots of anxiety over struggling elderly parents at the other end of the country this year. Dumpty Dum is one of the podcasts that could be prescribed for anxiety.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's sorting out your anxiety, Alison, because it causes me and Philippa huge amounts of anxiety.
It does. And Claire Campbell says, my training plan calls for a run on Monday, so I listen then for the first time, but then usually listen another time while driving.
Ian Elmer told us that he listens in the car on my commute from Westport, Connecticut to New Jersey, to which Darcy Jorgensen, who lives in California, replied, dang, quite the commute. And then Darcy then told us that she listens curled up in bed with my dog because of the time difference after church.
And Pat Ralph Hanavan says, I usually listen while I potter at home, do laundry, cook or other mindless tasks. If I try to do anything more rigorous, I have to keep running it back to catch what I miss.
And finally, for the moment, we heard from Kathy DaCosta Millman, who told us that she listens while walking the dog in the desert in Qatar. Helps me feel connected to home and haven't missed an episode in 25 years. Only discovered Dumpty Dum recently, but love it. Keep up the great work, guys. Oh, thank you. Well, we will endeavour to do that. So fascinating where and when people listen. Do keep posting on Facebook, and we'll have some more next week. So that's Facebook, but of course we're also on Twitter under at Dumpty Dum. You'll see our team always include the Archers hashtag, and they use a capital T and A. That's so the visually impaired can enjoy any Archers-based tweets as well. Also try and include at Dumpty Dum in your tweets so more people get to see your tweet, which helps to keep our community growing.
As well as at Dumpty Dum, we're both on Twitter. I can be found at QuickBook Review. How about you, Quentin?
You'll find my Twitter ramblings at 13-Minute Man. That's 13-Minute Man.
And now it's time to crown our Tweeters of the Week.
Yeah, and we record this pretty much straight after the omnibus. And two of these I plucked from this morning's omnibus. See, they're fresh off the Twitter press. So there's always a chance to get one of the medals, even if you tweet during the omnibus. Okay, so in bronze position, we have this from Mel Parker at Mel Parker Mel. And she has pronounced, Kate speaks sense. Hell has frozen over. There you go. We both agree on that. Kate had a good week, didn't she? In silver position, Charlie Norton at 19 CEN. Hazel seems unsteady on her feet. Time to spread marbles about the place. She needs to trip up that one. But in gold position, it's Nick at Check Your Sheds. If you or someone you know has been affected by the quality of the Donkey Audition storyline, help is available in the drinks cabinet. Love that.
That's so excellent.
Gold medals to Nick at Check Your Sheds.
Bravo, one and all. And now it's time for us to start our goodbyes. So we thank again Stephen, what a tune. And we thank Rob, Megan, Wendy, Glyn, Witherspoon, Carol from the Highlands, Brian, formerly Cycling Christine, Catherine, Charles, Chris from York, Anon of Ambridge, and the author Nikki May for their contributions.
Thanks also to our social media supremos, Cosmo for his podcast roundups, Shambridge for her voices, and I suppose Philippa as well these days.
No.
No. And to our podcasting parents, Lucy V. Freeman and Roy Phil Brown.
So what will be revealed next week? Will Eddie convince Linda that the best replacement for the donkey is one of the family ferrets? Will Fabrice find it impossible to dye Lillian's hair back to any shade that isn't a primary colour? Will Hilda the cat pass on CBD to her friends and receive a prison sentence for drug trafficking? And will Hazel turn out to be the kindest person imaginable, full of love, joy and kindly good humour? Yeah, right. All will be revealed next week, but for now, it's a bye-bye from me.
And since I need to respect my limits and can feel myself starting to fade, I'll say bye-bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.